Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. This is Eddie from The Dean Show. And maybe this nice little sign for the show today. Alhamdulillah, you're tuning in. And we're going to be talking about happy. That's right. Are you happy? How can you be happy? What makes you happy? And this is what we're going to be discussing in this week's show and much more. So make sure that you're tuning in. We got so much to talk about. You know about the video that went viral. You probably watched it. Maybe you didn't, but we're going to be discussing a little bit about that too. So don't go anywhere. All this and more with my next guest here on The Dean Show.
This is 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 The Dean Show.
Welcome back to The Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Alaikum salam wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for being with us on The Dean Show.
My pleasure to be here, actually.
When made a sign, huh? You got to come in for this exciting sign that was made. My head actually fits through it. What do you think?
You look beautiful and you look happy.
Happy, that's right. Alhamdulillah. So, happiness, that's what we're talking about. Everybody is looking for happiness.
Everybody, every male, female, young, old, Muslim or non-Muslim, they all want to seek happiness.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we wanted to start off, there was a video, and some people have made this video, and we wanted to get some feedback to see really what our Islamic stance was, we had to say about it, and from there we can take off.
Absolutely. So first of all, I'm very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allowed me to be in your presence and allowed me to be allowed to be seen by the brothers and sisters. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this of benefit and to make this as means of happiness to everybody that watches us.
Amen.
Ameen Rabbil Alameen. With this being said, first of all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward everyone behind that video. We ask Allah to grant them the highest levels in Jannah and to see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reward him for their intentions. First of all, we need to know our limits. That's very important, to know your limits. Even me as a speaker right now, I need to know to my limits, to what extent we can say it's haram. Halal, am I a faqih? Meaning, can I say halal or haram? Can I sign on Allah's behalf? Every time you mention a fatwa, haram or halal, you're actually signing on Allah's behalf. So before the actual content of that video, I want to mention something very, very important, actually even more important than the content itself, which is the brotherhood and the sisterhood. When you find both parties, the party that approves of it and the party that's against it, how they're commenting against each other, accusing one other's intention, oh, you're an extremist, oh, you're a hypocrite, behind the screen, you're this, in front, you're like that. And others, oh, you guys are doing these videos to promote that Muslims are, for example, they're liberals, etc., and we're open-minded, and guys and girls can dance, and we want to spread corruption. Accusing intentions, that's number one. Another thing that's very bad is that people giving fatwas on both sides. And I'm talking now real stuff right here. When someone says, okay, you know what, dancing is haram, period. Do you know, academically speaking, how serious that statement that you're mentioning? Anything, Brother Eddie, any ritual is haram unless proven otherwise. And every natural act is halal unless proven otherwise. So everybody that says something is haram, they need to bring what's the word?
Evidence.
Evidence. Proof. May Allah bless you. Without evidence, your conversation, your whatever you say is pretty weak. So yes, dancing can get some people to Jannah, maybe perhaps if a wife dances to her husband.
So a wife, we're talking about now,
a wife dancing to her husband.
To her husband.
Naam. But now, you want to go to dancing in the public, why not go ask the scholars before doing such act that might be create a lot of controversy? Just think about it, subhanAllah, just think about it. I'm not saying halal or haram, I just want you to think. If Islam tells the sisters not to wear an ankle bracelet, okay, don't wear an ankle bracelet, what about shaking her whole body in front of a male? Right, just thinking. I'm not accusing anyone's intention. I'm just saying some practical steps right here.
Why not an ankle bracelet?
Huh?
No, go ahead and elaborate on the ankle bracelet.
So the ankle bracelet, some scholars say because it grabs attention.
Yes.
Maybe whenever the time in the past when the woman does this and the bracelet shakes, I mean she needs attention, etc. So whatever the wisdom behind it, just something to
for her for her protection then.
Yeah, so for her protection, don't do that. For example, the perfume, right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everybody is watching us, make sure you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Prophet Muhammad. So the Prophet says, whoever a woman that walks by a man and she puts a lot of perfume, and the man smelt that perfume and desired, that lady, then as if she committed zina, and we seek Allah's refuge from that. Is that clear? So such a high level of perfume, then man, if she's dancing, and as a man, generally get enticed by these things. We're not saying as simple as like doing this and so on, but generally dancing overall. So my advice is that go and consult with the scholars just to avoid being hit with this stuff. And wallah, being very honest, you are hurt just because of the controversy between the brothers and the sisters fighting back and forth. This hurts even more than whatever wrong that may happen. And you know why, Eddie, it's so important to consult with the scholars before these videos? You know why? Because if this was wrong and this was haram and it's very doubtful and everybody else does it, the one who originated the video gets a sin. In authentic hadith, the one who first promoted idol worship in Saudi Arabia this time, but back in the Bilad al-Arab, in Mecca specifically, it was called Hubal. Hubal was the idol. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says the man who brought that idol will be tortured so badly for everybody that worshipped the idol in Mecca. But he only did this one. But this is the consequences. And on the opposite, whoever promotes something that is good, and anybody else that follows that, they will also get the reward even while they're in their grave. So just to do a quick recap, I'm not at that scholarly level to say haram, halal, but first of all, I can definitely say that us cursing each other and accusing our intentions, that's wrong. I can definitely say that when you give fatwa, signing on Allah's behalf, that's dead serious, it can be bigger of a sin than whatever happened. And obviously, number one, go to the scholars, go to the imams that would know the surroundings and ask them, because definitely we see that this video created some issues and definitely some people view as positive. And I just want to show you some of the confusion that perhaps have happened. And we don't use this as means to block it completely. When a non-Muslim comes and he says, I can't even shake hands with a Muslim woman, and now you shake your whole body in front of me. How doubtful do you think that man becomes? It gets a little difficult. As you know, I'm focusing mostly off the dancing because music.
So from a fiqh issue, we sort out the words, the lyrics from the instruments. Are the instruments themselves haram, or are the lyrics what make the song halal or haram? From a fiqh perspective, the instruments themselves, from the consensus of the formula, are haram. I understand that Ibn Hazm, you know, rahimahullah, said that music is halal, that there's no authentic evidence to make music haram. But you know what, Ibn Hazm also said you can marry 9 wives, and that if you don't pray your salat in masjid, your salat is invalid. So if you want to follow him on music, you follow him on salat too, and be in the masjid for fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, and isha, or else your salat doesn't count, so you're not Muslim in the first place. So that's the point, is that we shouldn't be selective with our fatwa.
So I respect those who listen to musical instruments. Yes, I respect that. Even myself, Majid, myself, I actually try to avoid musical instruments. And maybe, Eddie, I watched your video. You might have some knowledge about that. Maybe you can share some afterwards. But the point being is that consult and you'll be safe, inshallah. And when you consult, bi-idhnillah, even if you're wrong, Allah will not punish you for it.
Some people would say, look, that, you know, now Muslims, we have our identity. Muslims are those who submit to the will of the Creator. We have a blueprint, the Quran and the Sunnah. And just in itself, when you live Islam, when you follow the guidelines that Allah has set forth, that's the da'wah in itself, being unique. But now, if you're compromising in a way just to fit in, to blend in, you're getting desensitized. Absolutely. Are you actually doing good for the da'wah? Are you doing good for yourself?
See, this is one of the dangerous things, Habibi, Eddie, is that many times when the pressure comes on us, we tend to go outside the scope which Allah allowed us to be within. But we go outside just to please other people. And that's when it comes really dangerous. You feel so pressured. That's why there's a lot of sincerity behind it. Wallah, Allah knows best. Some people may do things outside that circle just for Allah, but the action itself is incorrect. Remember this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever seeks to please the people under the cost of displeasing Allah, Allah will be displeased by that person. And that's enough of a punishment. But Allah will also make those people whom you try to please to be displeased by you. And lastly, whoever tries to please Allah under the cost of displeasing people, there's no other way, Allah will be pleased by you. And that's enough of a reward. But Allah will also add that these people to be pleased by you.
That's beautiful. We'll end with that for this side. We'll be right back with more. But when you work to please the Creator, even at the expense of displeasing the people, Allah will be pleased with you. That's the main thing.
And that's enough. But Allah will also be generous and also make the people.
And then eventually they're going to be pleased with you too, because the hearts are in control by the Creator. Absolutely. We're going to be right back with more to cover this happy topic. How's that?
Beautiful happy.
Because we got our happy sign right here, brother. Absolutely. We're trying to be happy. On the Deen Show, we'll be right back with more.
I'm happy, I'm a Muslim, that's what makes me happy, and that's the truth. Because I'm happy, cause I have the noble Quran, and that's where I get my rules. Because I'm happy and I have the Sunnah, which dictates what my life should do. And I'm so happy, Alhamdulillah, we don't try to change our deen. And I'm so happy, my dua to Allah, please protect our deen. Ameen. And I'm not happy when they try to change Islam, because this deen is the truth. Don't try to change it, in fact you can never change it, because Islam's the truth.
I think nowadays music is probably one of the easiest means to lose your moral sense. It is, music is audio pornography today. That's what it is. It's explicit, it's shameless, it's vulgar. It takes your sense of humanity away from you. It makes you look at women as objects, worse than objects, worse than animals. Just as, and these people are talking about women like they're talking about, you know, an animal, really. It objectifies women, and especially I've noticed a lot of the brothers that I know of, Muslims, that are really into the hip-hop scene, and they're kind of doing the hifz of the song, right? They're memorizing the song, and they're really good at reciting it with perfect tajweed too, right? And so they do that, and it's just horrible language, horrible, horrific, horrific language. You know, the only simple response I have to that, if you have any regard for the Book of Allah, that you really think it's from Allah, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. Even the name, the mention, the word of something, the word for something bad, is terrible once you have faith. Even the mention of something terrible is horrible for you, it's harmful for you after you have faith. You have to have a clean tongue. You have to say what you, قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولْ أَلَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Tell my slaves to say that which is the best. Say what is the best. Say good things from your mouth.
Back here on the Deen Show, we're talking about happiness, trying to be, want to be. Everyone is seeking to be happy, to be content. And that's the true richness in life. Now, tell us, you know, I had a sign for me. Don't you have a sign?
Absolutely.
Where's your sign,
but
brother?
It's halfway.
Uh-huh.
So it's black and white.
Yeah.
Because happiness, Brother Eddie, and contentment can come while you're even crying.
That's true.
That's right. So yes, a Muslim can be happy and content while they're upset, while they're sad, while they're in pain. So whenever we view happiness, it's something in the heart and only in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who in the world can have a son at the age of 62 years old? Roughly around the age, after he lost Abdullah and Al-Qasim, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after all these years, he has a son with him, Ibrahim. He loved him so much. And Allah willed with his wisdom, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. He planned that Ibrahim would die in the presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cried. And the Sahaba were so amazed that you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have the heart of contentment and happiness. And you're crying. He told the Sahaba, yes, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ, the eye, tadma, cries. وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ, the heart, يَحْزَن, gets sad. وَإِنَّ لِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَهِيمُ لَمَحْزُنُ. And we're so sad of the deportation of Ibrahim. However, وَلَا نَقُولُ, we will not say except مَا يُرْضِي رَبُّنَا, whatever pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what we will say. So yes, we will be content, and contentment comes in the heart, and only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following His commandments.
You can see actually some of the most miserable people who, when you watch their videos, absolutely, you know, some of the celebrities and people who are doing the most dancing, the most you know, provocative things out there, shaking it, shaking the rump and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you'll find most of them are the most unhappiest people. But can't you be a person who's not doing something like what they're doing, imitating them, mm-hmm, and you could be the happiest?
Absolutely. Actually, Eddie,
so what is, that's my next quote, what is really happiness?
What is really happiness? You know what? No one better answer this question than the one who manufactured me and you. Make sense?
Yes.
So he made us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sent us that manual, which is the Quran, and in it, it tells you how to be happy, as simple as that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi min sharrir rajim, we seek Allah's refuge from the devil. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful. Man amila salihan min dhikrin aw untha. Whoever does righteous deeds, dhikr, male, or untha, female. Wa huwa mu'min, while there are believers, what will happen to Allah? فَلَا نُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We will give them a blessed good life. This is the formula. What are they? Iman and amal salih. Iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and put that into action. This is the requirement. Have that faith in your heart and put it into action. طيب. What if someone doesn't have these two requirements and they say they're happy? What are the dancing, the clubs, the celebrities and so on? Are they happy? Let's Allah tell us. Allah says in another verse, which is very serious, Ali, and please just And we love the confidence in the Quran. We love that confidence, right? So Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, which means this is the book that has no doubt in it. We love that confidence. And Muslims, we basically increase our iman through these beautiful verses. So Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ, whoever deviates away from the remembrance of Allah, from the path of Allah, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, they will have a miserable life. I'm not quoting this to make fun of people or mock them. We seek Allah's refuge, but we give him reality. So Allah says, if you move away from the right path of doing things right, okay, Quran and Sunnah, then you have a miserable life with your wife, with your family, children, work, colleagues, sports, etc. So whatever celebrities, they claim to be happy and all these profile pictures and so on, they're actually unhappy. Even if they come, hold me from my shirt, tell me, Majid, stop talking, we're happy. I say, wallahi, you're not happy. Because Allah, who made you and me, said, whoever deviates away from the path of Allah, they're unhappy, basically.
Tell us, does money, fame, celebrity status, you know, dancing all day, is this what brings happiness?
Okay, so let me pick the most famous path in which people say, if I have this, I'll definitely be happy. And that path is the most famous, money, right?
Money, yes.
So can money bring happiness? You know, sometimes people that are just like a bit worried, like, okay, you know what, money never brings happiness. But those that say that, if I give you a $10,000 check as a gift, wouldn't it create a smile to you? Won't you probably have this big, nice sign and nice and hold it, right?
You'll be nice.
Definitely be happy. Yeah. Now, does money bring happiness? The answer is absolutely yes. Rather, money is one of the greatest means to ever attain the happiest moments in this life and the afterlife. As long as you have what?
You have iman.
Iman. Without iman in anything that you do, you'll never be happy.
Go ahead and define this for the people that don't know what iman means, for a lot of the Muslims tuning in.
So, iman, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost.
The creator of the heavens and earth.
The creator of the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe in the messengers. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus was a prophet, Muhammad was a prophet. He was a human being just like us. However, they're perfect, they're infallible, they don't do mistakes. None of them is alcoholic or addicted to this and that. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree, whatever He decreed upon us. And we believe as Muslims, iman goes up and goes down. Goes up and goes down. It's not an on and off. So the more righteous deeds that you do, the more iman that you have. Which means that, the more iman you have, that means that what? The more iman, that means the happier you will be.
The happier you are.
The more content. The lesser iman that you have, the lesser contentment, the lesser the happy.
Less happy. Then you're not holding the happy sign.
No more happy sign. Or maybe you're holding it.
Or you're holding it and you're faking the funk.
It's possible.
It's possible,
very
yeah.
possible, absolutely. So, and iman, has, obviously, there's a lot of things. Basically, iman is what has been installed in the heart or instilled in the heart. Whatever is said through your tongue, and that whatever is basically put into action. That's gotcha. Iman. So iman, no one can say iman is just in the heart and period. No, iman must be translated into action. You got to walk the talk, right? Mm-hmm. So when you do walk the talk and so on, that's the means of you gaining happiness, contentment in this life and the afterlife. Money. Money definitely can be the means of happiness as long as part of iman. Mm-hmm. You get it from a halal resource. You spend it in a halal way. And you enjoy your life. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنْ دُنْيَا. Allah says in the Quran, and don't forget your share in the dunya. You want to buy a Corvette? Go for it. You want to buy a mansion? Go for it. But as long as you're fulfilling your duties, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ. In this dunya, there are four kinds of people. Number one, a man or a woman whom Allah blessed with wealth and knowledge. إِمَانًا وَعِلْمًا وَمَالًا. What happens? فَهُوَ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِيهِ. So he fears Allah with that money. And he connects with the ties of kinship. The Prophet says, فَهُوَ بِأَفْضَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. This person is at the highest levels ever. Then the other person, which many people are watching us right now, they have what? Have the knowledge but have no money. What about them? Rasulullah ﷺ says, فَهُوَ صَادِقُ النِّيَّةِ. Allahu Akbar. They have a truthful intention. So because of truthful intention, the Prophet says, they say, had I have money like that rich guy, I would have donated, I would have done this and that. The Prophet says, فَأَجْرُهُمْ وَسَوَىٰ. They will also be at the same level. So when it does bring you happiness, remember, who was the richest person ever walked on earth?
You had this gentleman, Jack. No, the witches. Are you talking about the man who made the lotto winning?
Yes, but okay, you know what? I asked before that. Who was the richest person ever walked on earth?
Who was the richest?
Richest.
Richest. Go ahead, tell me.
Sulaiman alayhi salam.
Yes, yes, the Prophet. Yes.
He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had iman. He said, oh Allah, forgive me. And he called Allah. He didn't call a grave. He didn't call someone else. He didn't beg someone. He humiliated himself. He went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the iman.
Yes.
And he said, oh Allah, give me a kingdom that no one ever had, no one ever has, and no one will ever, ever have. And Allah gifted it to Sulaiman. And wasn't he happy with that money?
Yes.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much money between two mountains after the battle of Hunayn. And then Muslim came to him. He was so amazed about the wealth. The Prophet was a millionaire at that point. And he was so amazed by this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's all yours. He said, it's all mine. He's like, yeah, it's all yours. Because money was in their hands. It was never in their hearts.
That's right.
Money was always in their hands, never in their hearts. And when money goes from the hand, it's okay. But when it goes from the heart, it breaks it.
I want you to, when we come back, give us some live examples of...
Absolutely. From our current time.
Current times.
Absolutely.
Current time examples. Happy. Want to be happy. You're going to learn much more when we come back. God willing, here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
But you figure out that, you know, man has to have a purpose. If you were to take away mosquitoes from the planet, within a few months, everything dies.
You just took away what?
The mosquito.
That's a fact, right?
That's a fact.
Mosquitoes.
But if you take away mankind, nothing happens. So this whole ecosystem, this whole wheel, this whole cycle, doesn't need you. So why are you here?
Welcome back to The Dean Show, and we're going to give you some current examples of people who might have won the lotto. Mm-hmm. Big money, big bank. So the question was, does money, fame, you know, celebrity status, does it bring true happiness? Mm-hmm. We gave example of the last and final message, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Prophet Sulaiman. Mm-hmm. They were the happiest. Now the other side.
So we said money brings you happiness. Yes, if it's with accompanied with iman, absolutely.
Iman.
Now what if you take the iman component? Wallahi, they live nothing but in misery. Because Allah said, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعَيْشَةً ضَنْكَ. They have a miserable life because they moved away from the path of Allah. Eddie, examples are non-ending. It's everywhere. Where do you want to start?
Jack.
Jack Whitaker, right?
Yes, Jack.
So Jack Whitaker, at one point, he had the largest lottery ticket in terms of money ever on earth at one point. That was a few years back. So he took all the money, he came on all these television, all these shows, and he was expressing how rich he was and so on. Now, because we're in the future, now we know exactly what happened to him. And anyone can watch a documentary, actually go read yourself, to show you how when iman is taken out, happiness is not there. First of all, Jack Whitaker, in quick summary, he ended up going to bars and nightclubs all night long. He comes back home drunk and his wife complains about that. So number one, in the family, not happy. By the way, how much was the money? About $114 million, roughly speaking. $114 million.
Jack? Wasn't it 314 million?
$314 million was a lot of ticket. However, he chose to take it on the spot.
Okay, gotcha.
So when you take it on the spot, you know, the government takes a lot of taxes and so on. So 114 is not too bad, right?
Not too bad. It's a good day.
So he got all that money. And then how did he behave? Clubs, drunk. How can you be happy when you're drunk? Strip clubs and so on. And the relationship in the house was going down. So now, right away, did money bring happiness to the family?
No.
Absolutely not. His granddaughter went to drugs. Some of his own relatives were murdered and killed. To an extent that his wife, she says, and he can order almost word for word, she said, I wish when I got that lottery ticket from Jack that I would rip her apart before he went and cashed it in. Imagine to that extent, she was willing to live in that normal life, but not go to that extent. And you know what, Jack, to what extent of subhanAllah misery he went through?
That's Jack Whitaker.
Jack Whitaker.
Yeah.
He went to the parking lots, and you can check it this yourself. And he would talk to a married couple, or a boyfriend, girlfriend, and he would talk to the guy, how much would it cost to sleep with your wife or your girlfriend? To that extent of degrading, that's how what money took him to, thinking he's better than anyone in the world. And now you can see the end results, not really happy. You go to Christina Onassis. Christina Onassis, she's the daughter of one of the richest people ever walked on earth during our current time. His name is Aristotle Onassis, who had the shipping empire. A multi-millionaire, even billionaire. At one point, 3.5 years old, her father bought her a yacht for $3.5 million or $6.5 million, roughly around that age. Christina said, Daddy, what's this? She said, that's your playground. That's how rich they were. At one point, her brother died, and at one point, her father died. So at that time, Christina became the richest girl ever walked on earth. And that's so recent. Again, there's a documentary about it on YouTube. So Christina, with all that money, was she really happy? You go after one marriage, she got divorced from a guy in LA. And she was willing to sacrifice all that money because of that marriage. Because her father told her, if you end up getting married to that guy, I will no longer give you money. And she went against her father. She got married to him, but her father actually still gave her the money. They got divorced after some time. She got married to a guy from Greece. Got divorced after some time. She got married to a guy from Russia. A guy asked, how can communism coincide with capitalism? And then Christina says, I'm looking for, what's the word? Happiness.
Happiness.
She couldn't find it. Then it went beyond. And she got divorced. She went married for the last time to a guy from France. And now she got a child from him. And her daughter plays in the Olympics, by the way. She's a horseback rider. Now, with all this being said, definitely she's happy with that man after the child. But children didn't give her happiness. Marriage didn't give her happiness. Money did not give her happiness. And Allah told us, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعْشَةً ضَنْكًا. Have a miserable life, because Allah told us. She was found at the age of 37 years old, Eddie, in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, in a luxurious country club, in the bathroom, in the bathtub, dead due to drug overdose. If she's happy, she would not even be willing to sleep. If she's happy, she will try to maximize the amount of money she can spend and everything possible to be happy. But why did she choose to leave this world? You know what she said word for word? Word for word, Eddie.
What's that?
She said, if money brings happiness... No, she said, I'll say reword it again. She said, money does not bring you happiness, and the biggest proof is our family. So she reached the pinnacle. She told everybody that's going up that ladder for money. She said, oh, it's not here. I'm the top of the top. There's no one richer or a female that has more money than me. It's not here. It does not bring you happiness. You want to go to fame. Can fame bring you happiness? Fame absolutely brings you happiness as long as you don't seek it. Allah says in Surah Al-Duha, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Good translation, we made you famous. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being mentioned every second. Every split of a second. But wasn't he happy with that fame? Absolutely. Making dua for the Prophet, but Ya Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc. But that fame benefited him because he had Iman. Without Iman, you'd be miserable. You look, for example, at Justin Bieber. But brother, what's your proof? Allah says, Man sammaa sammaa Allahu bih, meaning whoever seeks to be praised on the tongues of people and be famous, Allah will make them famous. But in complete opposite of what they sought. Justin Bieber, seeking fame. We know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that eventually things bad will happen, and it already happened. All the drugs that he's been taking, all the weed that he's been smoking. You look at Elvis Presley. This is the sunnah of Allah, Allah's methodology in the world. You move away from Allah, you seek all these things, Allah will show you true colors. And we seek Allah's refuge from showing our true colors. Say ameen. And I ask Allah to make my words and your last words and everybody's last words, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Elvis Presley, he was accused, by the way, as the one who promoted pornography in the US, by the way. Elvis Presley. After some time, Allah exposed him. Now he's being called Elvis the Pelvis. And he used to hate that nickname. How was he dead? There's a lot of controversy. He was found, at an old age, in his bathroom. Such a rich man, all the girls around. Definitely he's happy. Girls, money, fame, like what else? He was found in his bathroom, half naked, while he was in the toilet. Forgive my language. And he was throwing up, and he was found dead while his face was in the place where he threw up, taking drugs. Allahu Akbar. But with all this being said, the question that comes afterwards, how can we maximize happiness? I'll mention one thing, one action item. The biggest way to ever maximize happiness and make it to the next level, pay attention, habit is relative from one person to another person. Not all of us are as happy. The more good deeds that you do, the proper ones, the happier that you will be. And the fastest way to do so is when you do good to other people. That's the fastest and easiest way to maximize that circle of happiness.
MashaAllah. We're almost out of time.
Yes.
So maximizing happiness, being good to people, doing good to others, living this deen,
yes.
Living it not just by talk but by action,
absolutely.
Getting to know it, living it. And what advice do you have? There's some things that are clear that if you have the right intention, because everything's based on your intention, you're not doing it for show off, you do things for the pleasure of your Creator, and now you are guaranteed these rewards, and inshallah, God willing, paradise, Jannah. Now there's some things that are doubtful. So what advice do you have some people who might have some, you know, good intention? You ask Allah to reward the people for their good intention, but now it has to be based on knowledge. Knowledge precedes action. Can you give some advice to people who want to do good for the deen, right?
Yes.
So how can they continue the zeal, but make sure that at the end, they're going to get rewarded for that and not be in some trouble on a day of judgment. Talk to us.
How sad would it be that you would do all that work that would record this show at the end of the day? Allah says what you did was wrong. It was so sad, right? As I'm traveling, right? All the way here. And Allah says it's wrong. It's very sad. We ask Allah to grant us the nur, the light, and the guidance to whatever it pleases Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen.
Brother Eddie, Allah says very clearly, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, whoever would like to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and go to Jannah and have all the goodness, there are two conditions for any act of worship to be accepted. Not to associate the intention with anyone else, and to make sure the action to be correct. It has to be according to the Quran and Sunnah. So if I feel so motivated, I want to pray Dhuhr, 5 rak'at. My intention is sincere. Will Allah accept? 5 rak'at, Allah will not accept because they're 4. You might be doing a lot of work, so you're so sincere and we believe you. But the work, if it's incorrect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not accept it. So definitely, knowledge is key. You have to seek, you have to humble yourself. You know what I mean? You have to take some time, go ask your scholars, those with good knowledge, sound knowledge that you trust, understands your culture, understands your society, and they might give you some alternatives for better da'wah, give you alternatives, the best way ever to approach the message. And you yourself might know it, but when you have that foundation, sometimes the foundation is very important to move forward and gaining happiness in this life and the afterlife. And remember, it's in the heart, contentment. You might cry, but still have the contentment, and that can only happen when you have the iman, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
May Allah help us. to be able to truly be happy.
Absolutely.
And to have the best in this life, the best in the hereafter by pleasing Him, working to live this way of life so we can meet our Creator with Him pleased with us and we can get to Jannah. And that's where ultimate happiness is,
Absolutely.
Is it? Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Ameen. You too. Thank you so much. Jazakallah. And thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show. Happy. That was the theme of this week's show. And hopefully, God willing, you've gotten some great advice that you can benefit from today, right now, and you can be happy. And the best way to be happy is how? By obeying your Creator, by doing the things that He's told us to do. And oh Muslim woman who has been honored with Islam, the Creator has called you. A Muslim is one who submits not to a man or a woman, a stick, a stone, a bone, no one but the Creator. He's honored you. So continue to honor yourself and don't let no one, with all the temptation and all the things that are trying to pull you away from your deen, you stay strong and you hold on to your deen. And go ahead and shake it for your husband, girl, but don't shake it for no one in the world other than the one that you can be shaking it for, that you know you'll get the reward for. God loves you, Allah loves you, and don't compromise your deen ever, because at the end, you'll die, and then what will you have if you work to please the people at the expense of displeasing Allah? May Allah help us, the Creator, help us to please our Creator before we meet our Creator so we can be successful in this life and get Jannah in the next. Follow us, like us on our social media pages, and we hope to see you again here with us every week. Until next time, peace be with you.